This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour open line talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. To express your viewpoint, please call 804-754-1988. That's 804-754-1988. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
I was heading out the door for a very difficult morning, beginning with the dentist. Not exactly the way one wants to begin their day, but I knew that I had other things every more pressing than a dentist appointment on my plate. And as I was getting ready to leave, my wife came to me with open arms and she said, "I love you, Chuck. I love you," and gave me a big hug. I called her a little while later and I said, "You have no idea, sweetheart, what that meant to me." You know what? A lot of times we just don't know. Somehow, sometimes we just, in our married state, we just kind of drift away with one another. We don't quite attend on purpose, realizing that perhaps our marriage was really for a purpose. You know, they say that love is what makes the world go around. Interesting. But there's very little love these days. Oh, there's a lot of love lost, but very little real love. And maybe that's the reason why the divorce rate for the past 20 years in America, in our churches, has virtually equaled that of the nation as a whole. And in the Bible Belt of America, where our guests and this broadcaster live, the divorce rate has been 50% higher than the nation as a whole for 15 years. Go figure. The Bible Belt of America? How could such a thing be? Maybe we forgot that we're married for a purpose. What do you think? Maybe we've forgotten that we were married for a purpose and the God who put it all together. Well, today on Viewpoint, timely, I think, we're going to be talking about this matter of married for a purpose. Our special guest today, Greg and Julie Gorman from South Florida. Apparently, they have Love Makes the World Go Around down there in South Florida. So it's good to have you guys on the program today to talk about your book, Married for a Purpose. Welcome aboard.
Thanks so much. We're excited to be here.
You bet we are.
Well, first of all, as a former trial lawyer, you're purporting to be expert witnesses now, and you're never allowed to bring on one who purports to be an expert witness without verifying or vetting them, establishing their qualifications before the jury. And the jury is our listeners. So let me ask you, Julie, how long have you and Greg been married?
Oh, wow. I never felt like I was on trial before. Well, I know we've been married for over 2 decades.
2 decades?
Yep.
That's a good fur piece down the track.
It is. Yeah. And boy, have we had a lot of life prior to that. We met in our late 20s.
Oh.
Truthfully, we did just about everything wrong. First couple of years, Chuck, we nearly killed one another.
Oh,
we
my
loved
goodness.
One another. Yeah, we loved one another passionately, but we fought just as passionately. And thankfully, God didn't let go of us. He redeemed it. And today, again, fast forwarding 20 years, we are best friends, happily married, and loving sharing this message of hope with other married couples and watching their marriages be restored as well.
Well, we're living in a very distressing time. My wife this very morning was saying just, you know, she can barely stand to listen to the news, to watch the news, but to hear the things that are going on in our world. It's so distressing, so discouraging. But if we're really married for purpose and on purpose, that should provide, Greg, I think, a womb for dealing with these kinds of things. So I'd like to know, when you got married to Julie, were you guys Christian believers?
We were indeed. We had lots of growth to undertake, but we were both believers, and we both had a desire to serve Christ. And quite honestly, that's probably the only thing that saved our marriage, especially during the early years when we almost didn't make it.
And you say you almost didn't make it. That is a story that I hear over and over again. And my wife and I have been married now 51 and a half years. And when we got married, she was 20, I was 21. I had grown up in a Christian home. She had grown up in a Christian home. My father was a pastor, and I had majored in religion and psychology at a Christian school. So you would think that I would have had it all together. I would have had it, as they said, made in the shade, so to speak. Not so. And after 7 years of marriage, my wife, Kathy, came to me, Julie, and she says, Chuck, I don't have any more feelings for you, and it scares me. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the tone that she said it in. It wasn't railing on me. It was, I don't have any more feelings for you, and it scares me. So we can kind of relate to that together, can't we?
Oh, wow. You know, I hear so often couples saying they don't know if they're married to the right person.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know if they have feelings anymore. And one of the things we always encourage them, of course, with great grace and understanding that marriage is tough, right? You have it's hard enough to walk out your Christian faith as an individual, let alone as a couple. And so the thing that we encourage them is that God, since the beginning of time, orchestrated this thing that we call marriage of unity, right? With all the way back to Adam and Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And his intent for them was to rule and reign and to subdue the earth together. And that required them to be interdependent physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And the same stands true for us as well. And that's a process.
Well, they had to realize that they were married on purpose. I mean, actually, God performed the first marriage, and he said, what I've joined together, man must not put asunder. That doesn't give us, Greg, that doesn't give us freedom to divorce if we feel like it, does it?
No, it doesn't. And in fact, you know, I would say we've lived through seasons like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think seasons is a good word, too.
Right.
There are many different seasons in life, aren't there?
Well, yeah, we're going through winter here in Richmond, Virginia, and it's not the prettiest time, really, unless there's beautiful snow on the ground, but it's not a pretty time at all.
That's exactly right. And there's seasons in all sectors of our life, like all domains of our life, and sometimes there's winter seasons in those one or more of those domains, and certainly that can happen in marriage. And one of the things that Julie and I learned is that if you can't change the way you feel, change the way you think.
Oh, I like that.
All thought leaders throughout time have agreed on one thing consistently. They may disagree on a lot of things, but mm-hmm. all agree on one thing for sure, and that's we become what we think about. King Solomon said, as we think in our heart, so we are.
Yeah.
And so,
I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
Greg, if it's as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Julie, is that true for women, too?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I think that's one thing that I've learned as a female. I don't need to express every emotion. And the other thing is that my emotions tend to follow what I'm feeling in my thoughts. And that's why we wrote the book,
yeah.
New Habits of Thinking for a Higher Way of Living.
All right. Well, that's what we want to focus on as we get into this. This is going to be so encouraging, friends, and I hope that you will stay tuned. Again, I'm Chuck Christmeyer. This is Viewpoint. Viewpoint does determine destiny. The title of the book, Married for a Purpose. Your gift of $13 at Save America Ministries is going to put this $15 book in your hands. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. We'll be back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination. So what happened in just one generation? Hi, I'm Chuck Christmeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Does the busyness of your life choke out the time and the attitude necessary for a quality marriage? That's what we want to talk about here today on Viewpoint. In fact, our special guests, Greg and Julie Gorman from South Florida, have written a book called Married for a Purpose, and they're talking about developing new habits of thinking that will enable us to have a higher way of living. I like that subtitle. And what they've done is laid this out in a way that anybody, whether you like to read or not, doesn't matter, because each one of their points is made on two pages, basically. 52 weekly devotions for couples. And these thoughts are intended to be provocative, to provoke us into love and good works. And that's exactly what they do. In fact, as I was preparing for this program, I got so carried away with going through these thoughts that I almost missed the broadcast, my own broadcast. Well, if it's that compelling for me, it'll be that compelling for you too. Married for a Purpose, a $15 book, hardbound, yours for $13 here on the program. It's on our website, saveus.org. That's saveus.org. You can give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $5 for postage and handling. Later on in the program, I'm going to make a very special offer, so you might want to listen up for that as well. Now, Julie, you begin with week one here, and the title is Concentrate Your Attention on God's Intention. Now, I kind of like that alliteration there. Concentrate your attention on God's intention. And you're talking about our marriages, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, I love the idea of welcoming God's purpose, which means we have to stop focusing on our problems and focus our attention on what God intended.
So we replace our problems with God's purpose in our thinking.
That's it. And we're not saying that problems don't exist.
Oh,
that's
no.
When David stood before Goliath, right?
Right.
David stood before Goliath. Goliath was big, mean, and ugly. But what David did that the other Israelite army couldn't do is the Israelites were focusing on the giant. David remembered that Israel was meant to rule, not to be ruled. And with that, he went out in full power, and the giant fell.
You know, this matter of intention and living intentionally before God, realizing that our marriages were designed for a purpose, one of the things that my wife and I have come to grips with even the more so, and even this very morning as we spent time together in the Word and prayer as we do every single morning, my wife said, Chuck, we want our lives to reveal and reflect God's glory. We want people to see. We want our children, our grandchildren to see. We can't govern them. They have their own parents now. But we want to reflect God's glory in their lives. I mean, after all, Jesus said, you're the light of the world. So, Greg, how do we go about establishing that? How do we reflect the light of the world, God's light, in our life through our marriages?
Oh, I love that question. I think that in our studies and what we have learned in really diving deep into Scripture, and in years of coaching other people and, of course, living it out in our own life, is that there are three common purposes that all marriages hold. Now, each individual purpose might have their own specific purpose, Chuck.
Okay.
But all of these three apply to all of us. And the first one is to make God known.
Mm-hmm.
God intended for us as a couple to unify in making him known with our marriage. The second thing is to bring in pleasure. And we have a lot better time doing that when we lean fully into I embrace how Julie was created and her uniqueness rather than trying to change that, and vice versa. And then the last one, which may be my favorite, they're all very much applicable, but God created marriage as a means to be an earthly example of his unconditional love.
Okay.
And
I agree.
What a great opportunity we have to do that within our marriage relationship.
Well, isn't that kind of what the Apostle Paul was talking about in Ephesians 5 there, where he said, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as unto the Lord, and husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. I think that's what he had in mind there. And then he said, well, I'm speaking of a great mystery. I'm speaking of the great mystery of the relationship between Christ and his church. So that God's church is ordained to bring him pleasure by obeying his voice, by serving people, by loving him. Doesn't that begin in our marriages, Julie?
Absolutely. I think that it has to. And our marriage is the clearest place where our heart condition is revealed. It's when we get it right in the home that we really have the ripple effect where we can impact the world. I remember I used to want to do great things for Jesus when the greatest opportunity to make God known existed right underneath my nose and underneath my own rooftop.
You bring up an illustration. I was so thrilled to see this illustration because we're living right in Olympic week now. And one of the most profound memories that I have, I don't watch movies much, but I've watched a movie called Chariots of Fire probably 15 times.
That's a good one.
Just thinking about it causes goosebumps to go up and down my spine.
Yep.
And Eric Little was the main character there. He was a famous Scottish athlete, and they called him Scotland's fastest wing. And so he's asked to run in the Olympics on behalf of Scotland, and he, of course, in the account, he would not run on the Sabbath, and therefore it looked like he was going to be deprived. And as the story goes, I don't want to ruin it for people, but things changed and he wins. But before he gets to that point, his sister, a very godly woman, was very concerned about his running. She felt that his running was superficial, that wasn't very important, and really grieved and told her brother how much he grieved about his spending time running. And he said, you know what? God made me for a purpose. But he also made me fast. God made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure.
I love it.
When I say that, the goosebumps are going up and down my spine. You know,
right.
In his Scottish brogue, it was so beautiful. When I run, I feel his pleasure. And we ought to feel that way in our marriages, shouldn't we, Greg?
That's exactly right. We absolutely should. Our marriage brings him pleasure when it's leveraged well to do just that. And, you know, we've just learned over the years in our own marriage that the best way for us to do that, again, is to intentionally support one another in our gifts and in the areas that we are talented at.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've seen so many different couples and even individuals when they're thinking about their marriage purpose and bringing God's pleasure that they tend to, many times we tend to kind of discount those things, that those aren't sanctified enough, much like the sister you're describing in the movie that, that quoted in the book.
Right. Well, she was very religiously minded and very sincere.
But
she just didn't get it in terms of her brother's motivation.
I think a lot of us miss it, man. I really do. I think the truth is that she's not alone. I think that we think many times that this purpose thing, if it's something for God, that it's got to be platform ministry or, you know, doing the sort of things that you do or that Julie and I do. And the truth is nothing could be further from the truth. God put our passions in us, and he did that for a reason.
No question about it. And when we begin to see, and sometimes it takes us a while to do this, and we have to choose to see the giftings that God has given to and through our spouse. But when we begin to do that, we can value them the more so. And if we don't value them, we're going to treat them as having no value, aren't we, Julie?
Absolutely. You know, I have to tell a short story with this, too.
Go for it.
We had the privilege of leading a group in Louisville, Kentucky, when we lived there for a period of time. And we had groups of people that would go out, and they would go kayaking and mountain climbing and caving and all that.
Uh-huh.
And they had people from outside the church that would have never darkened the doors of our church show up. And as they celebrated and operated in their gifts and their passion, salvation took place. The same thing happened with cooking groups. And then we had these other people where they would knit, and we took those scarves and hats over to orphanages and halfway houses in Russia, mm-hmm. and salvation took place. And what we saw is as each person simply operated in the giftings and the talents that God had put in them, combined mm-hmm. those talents together, salvation took place under God's authority. And that's the beauty of the body of Christ, right? The hand can't say to the foot, I have no need of you, as Paul writes. So it's a powerful thing when we just simply understand that each of us were created on purpose for a purpose, and especially in marriage. There is power in that unity.
No question about it. And going back to that Olympic example with Chariots of Fire, the fellow Eric Little, when he finally got his opportunity to run, his teammates opened up the opportunity for him to run, not on Sunday, but on another day. And as he's getting into the starting blocks, this is the other thing that I'll just never, ever forget. A fellow by the name of Charlie, who was considered the fastest sprinter in America, came up to Eric Little as he was getting in the starting blocks, and he handed him a piece of paper. Eric looked at that piece of paper, and it was a quotation from the book of Samuel. Those that honor me, I will honor. Those that honor me, I will honor. And he takes that paper, crunches it up in his hand, and the starting gun goes off. And I'm thinking, you know, when we get married, Greg, when we get married, it's like the starting gun is going off. And God has ordained us for a purpose. And those who honor him, that is the Lord, in our marriages, he will honor. That's powerful, isn't it?
It is absolutely powerful. And, you know, I think in marriage, what can so easily happen is we get very comfortable with one another mm-hmm. over the years.
Yeah.
And if we're not careful, then what happens, and, you know, this is dovetailing back on you know, celebrating our differences and such. Instead of celebrating them, what we do is we tend to kind of pick each other apart and try to change one another. And it's my way of thinking is the right way, and your mm-hmm. way is the wrong. And the funny thing about it is that it's really exactly the opposite truth.
mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a matter of our differences being right or wrong. They're just differences. And the fact is that we're stronger because of our differences.
Well, what you don't realize is that every day on this program, we say Viewpoint Determines Destiny. And the title of our program is Viewpoint. Our viewpoint concerning our marriages and concerning our spouses is determining destiny. And destiny is a big deal for God. A big deal.
Yes, I do. And I love that's your program and the central focus of your program. It just makes all the difference in the world when we find a common purpose. We've all been designed, and we all want to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. And again, we have such a great opportunity to do that when we unify in purpose in our marriages. And for so many years, one of the things that Julie and I did is we would really try to attack the problems, you know. It's, again, as she said, it's you know, Chuck, it's not that the problems don't exist. There's problems. But when we spend all of our time feeding that and trying to fix the problems, the subject mm-hmm. matter is still problem. And if the old saying is that, you know, what you feed grows, what you starve dies, then we're feeding the wrong thing. So we found a new question. Mm-hmm. You want to know what the question is?
What's that?
When we find ourselves against the problem instead of trying to solve the problem, we'll ask mm-hmm. ourselves, what's the desired result? Instead of how do we fix the problem, it's what's the desired result? Mm-hmm. And it diffuses a lot of bad energy a lot of times and causes us to really focus on where we want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem gets addressed during that discussion. It definitely mm-hmm. does. But what's cool about it is a whole lot more gets addressed because we're not just dealing with the problem. We're moving in a direction that we want to go with our discussion. It just made all the difference in the world, say, for instance, in our parenting.
Well, no question. And, of course, it all begins with how you think. The outcome that you get begins with your mindset, as you say in your point on week 5. We'll be right back with our special guests, Greg and Julie Gorman, married for a purpose, friends. Very important and helpful.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, on the front page are two great videos. First, an interview and discussion of Chuck's book, Out of Egypt. Also, a great TV interview with Chuck regarding his book, Seduction of the Saints. Much more videos, a For Pastors Only section, and also you can view Chuck's weekly teachings, all at his website, saveus.org. That's saveus.org. Also on Chuck's website, listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast. Listen to the archives. Maybe you missed a program. Check it out at saveus.org. Also, there are some great resources, hospitality information, also information about marriage, divorce, and remarriage, newsletters, articles, prophecy, prayer and revival information, all at saveus.org.
Married for a Purpose. Our special guests, Greg and Julie Gorman, here on Viewpoint today. Julie, I want to ask you, if you were to describe as simply as possible what your book really provides to our listeners today, what would you say?
A way to be able to develop new ways of thinking. We have habitual thoughts. We go back to old paradigms of how we were raised. So mm-hmm. The takeaway is these are 52 practical ways to challenge and catch yourself in your thoughts. It's what mm-hmm. Paul talked about. Think about what is lovely, pure, of good report,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And yet the world gives us so many more messages that contradict that. So the power of this book is remember that your outcome begins in your mindset.
Well, you just quoted Philippians 4:8 in part. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on those things. Obviously, the Apostle Paul seemed to understand the same truths that you're trying to convey here in your book, Married for a Purpose. And you say in week 6 that God measures success, Greg, through obedience. Now, here's the problem with this. This word obedience comes from the root word obey. And the word obey is the most despised word in the church today. It's deemed to be a four-letter word. So when you say God measures our success, obviously our success in marriage through obedience, that might be a put-off to some people. So how are we to understand that?
Well, I would start off saying, you know, we're just repeating what God said.
So it's not your words, it's not my words. When Jesus said, if you love me, obey me. If you love me, keep my commandments. I didn't say that.
Well, we got to come back to the source, and he's the source of all things,
okay.
And certainly that.
Okay, so what kind of obedience are you talking about here?
Absolutely. I appreciate the question. You know, the catch is simply this, Chuck. I think that so often, especially here in the United States, and I know for myself, often I can get caught up in the habit of thought that I need to do something to gain God's approval, or that I need to do something in order to demonstrate my value. And really what we're trying to suggest to couples is to let go of that idea of success mm-hmm. and to simply be faithful where God has been planted currently.
Okay, so the word faithful, then, you're using to supplant the word obedience. Someone has said that faith is a long obedience in the same direction.
Absolutely. I wouldn't push back on that at all.
I think it was A.W. Tozer that said that.
He's a pretty smart guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Faith, a long obedience. No, it wasn't him. It was another pastor, Peterson, I believe, Eugene Peterson. Faith is a long obedience in the same direction. I really like that.
It's powerful to think, you know, our life, my favorite verse that I'm living by this year specifically, Chuck, is found 1 Corinthians 4:2.
Uh-huh.
It says, above all, a servant must be found trustworthy.
Mm.
And what we realize is we are a steward of our kids. We are a steward of our finances. We are a steward of our marriage relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And above all, a steward is to be found trustworthy, which means I need to position my heart and my mind in such a place that as God gives me direction and clarity, I simply align my life to follow after it. And I think that that's the key. You know, faith isn't conjuring up some big noble notion and saying, here I go, God, bless it. It's simply posturing, hearing God's voice, his direction for our life, and then aligning our life to follow after it.
Okay, now you guys are parents. How many kids do you have?
Great. We have three.
Oh, you have three? And what are their ages, Greg?
We've got a 23-year-old daughter who recently got married. She's been married just over a year now.
Uh-huh.
And we have an 18-year-old daughter, and we have a 16-year-old son.
Uh-huh. So you have been going through the challenges of a lifetime as parents.
You know, I'll tell you, truthfully, nothing will test us, as Julie started to say.
Yeah.
Nothing will test us more. Then I would say there's two things that God uses to keep us humble. Number one, our spouses. Number two, our kids.
Well, you must have been singing the song Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, through many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come. 'Tis God, 'tis grace that brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. So if you've had teenagers in this day and age, most likely you've had additional marriage challenges. Wouldn't you, Julie? Isn't that kind of par for the course?
It absolutely is. And I think, you know, this shows the power of two, though, too, Chuck.
Yeah.
Greg and I have always approached parenting vastly different in that Greg's strength is that he demands and commands of excellence.
Mm.
I tend to be the constant nurturer, encourager. And so sometimes encouragement and excellence can clash.
Really?
Right. So sometimes if we're not careful, I could get into a mindset of you're too hard, or Greg could look at me and say you're too soft. But we use this very principle that we're talking about. What's the desired outcome? How are we supposed to steward our children? And with that mindset, what we know and what we agree on in commonality is that our job as parents is to prepare them to be successful in the world and to step into their God-given purpose. And that requires both Greg's standards of excellence and my constant encouragement. When we meld those two together, two truly are better than one, just as Ecclesiastes says.
The book Married for a Purpose, New Habits of Thinking for a Higher Way of Living. And it's a $15 book, a hardbound book, yours for $13 here on the program today to encourage you for such a time as this, my friends, as we're all preparing to celebrate our love for one another and for our spouses and so on. Give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA. The book is on our website, saveus.org. That's saveus.org. You can write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $5 for postage and handling. You know, we're confronting the deepest issues that touch America's heart and home from God's eternal perspective day after day for almost 23 years now. 5 days a week, an hour live every single day. I hope it's encouraging to you, and if it is, I urge you to become a partner with us and send those gifts by faith to Save America Ministries. Go to our website, saveus.org. Make your generous gift that way. Give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us. Do it today. The other guy's not doing it, so how about you shouldering the plow with us and helping us along the way as we prepare the way of the Lord for history's final hour? Speaking of history's final hour, I don't know, Greg and Julie, what you think. Do you think Jesus is coming again soon?
I'd sure like to think so.
Well, if you look at our times, you look at what's happening out there. I mean, if you were listening to this broadcast for the past month, you would be absolutely certain he was coming soon.
Couldn't agree more.
Look what's happening to marriages. I mean, if you were God's arch enemy, would you not want to destroy marriage and family, which is the very heart of his creative purpose? Julie, wouldn't you do that?
It's exactly why we do what we do. We believe that when we can get it right in the home, we begin to take back our nation. And that is the place God designed the institution of marriage for mm-hmm. that very reason, I believe.
Yeah. You know, when I was practicing law in California, 40% of my practice was in family law, and in the largest family law court in the nation, which is the Los Angeles Superior Court System. And I'm here to tell you, 80% of my clientele came from the broader body of Christ, and it was horrific. I mean, I witnessed firsthand, and this was from 1975 to 1995, I witnessed firsthand the absolute unmitigated attack and destruction. And as if that weren't bad enough, it's gotten far worse since then. So I think this is one of the signs that Yeshua, Jesus, is coming soon. And we've got to shore up our marriages so we can show that we truly are sincere as followers of Jesus Christ, Greg.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that Julie and I often talk about is that, as your, to use your illustration, if we were the enemy trying to win this battle, mm-hmm. I mean, about it is if you were going to try to remove the light from a city, as yep. an example. But then there's a couple of ways we could go about that. We could go around and, you know, it might be a lot of fun to shoot each light out one at a time, but it'd probably be a whole lot more efficient to take the power plant. And when you think about the effect on the world and the ripple effect of what our life stands for as it applies to the marriage relationship, mm-hmm. and then how it affects our kids and their lifetime, how much of an impact we can have on our legacy in this country and in this world, mm-hmm. If we practice just good stewardship of our marriage and our kids yeah. within the four walls of our home, then our witness carries, you know, the rest of it takes care of itself.
We respect. Should be very concerned about our legacy. What you didn't know is that just this week, my new book, Hearts of the Fathers, Leaving a Legacy That Lasts, has just come out. And this matter of legacy is just, it's got to be preeminent in the minds and hearts of Christian parents and grandparents, I think.
Absolutely. It's something, again, that we reference often. It's a huge driver. In fact, legacy is a shared core value for Julie and I. And as mm-hmm. she said, that's one reason why we do what we do in the public. Mm-hmm. But it's also why we do what we do in the home as well, because our legacy is where our name and what we do really outlasts what we do. And we often say, you know, when it comes to parenting your kids, as an example, they'll do what you tell them to do up until about maybe 13 or 14 years old. Mm-hmm. And then what they're going to do is they're going to do what they see.
Ah.
So our actions are certainly weighted, aren't they?
They've seen the example carved in the stone of your life. Julie, when we get back, I have a question for you. It relates to the Me Too movement. Are men and women destined to be enemy combatants? Think about that when we get back. Viewpoint, friends. Viewpoint determines destiny. I hope you'll stay tuned. Married for a purpose.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by His Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Again, once again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint. Yesterday on this program, we rushed in where angels fear to tread and did a program based upon the fallout, the echoing unintended consequences, perhaps, of the so-called hashtag Me Too movement. The title of the program was, Are Men and Women Destined to Be Enemy Combatants? There's something happening in our world, and it's not just the breakdown of marriages. It's not just the breakdown of the family. Friends, it's the breakdown of all relationship between men and women. They're being turned into enemy combatants, it seems to me. Julie, what's your take on that as a woman?
Oh, wow. First of all, if I can just share in brevity a short part of my life. I grew up in a family where every abuse was present, physical, mm-hmm. emotional, and sexual abuse. And
wow.
that certainly shaped my paradigm.
Sure.
Of probably they swung on two pendulums, actually, anywhere between being, you know, my knight in shining armor to all men were perverts. And it, mm-hmm. it really was a broken paradigm.
Yeah.
What I realized, though, is that broken people do broken things. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not trying to minimize. I understand the heartache, the pain of the Me Too movement, quite honestly, very firsthand. And in saying that, I also know that what God calls us to as believers is to extend the same love, grace, and mercy that He's extended to us.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in again, just real quick brevity, when my father passed away, I stood at his casket, Chuck. And when I looked in at his face, God gave me a beautiful picture of my son's face in my mind's eye. My eyes were closed, and I just, in my mind's eye, I saw my son's face. And it was a great gift that the Holy Spirit gave to me. Because what I realized is that when my dad was my son's age, he never intended to do all the harmful things that he did. And but his actions were not excusable.
Mm-hmm.
But somewhere, brokenness got spilled out on him. And then that brokenness got spilled out on me.
Mm.
And I was able to give another layer of forgiveness. And coming back to what you asked, are we destined to be? I don't believe so. In Scripture, in Genesis, God said, let us make man in our image,
mm-hmm.
in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, right? Let us make man in our image with what God says, both male and mm-hmm. female, He
right.
created them. And so in God's image, both male and female, I believe the heart and the place of healing comes back in that truth that we're all broken. We all need to extend grace and mercy and forgiveness to one another.
Yeah, so you mean in the marriage, you have to extend mercy and grace to Greg? I'm not talking about if he's pummeled you within an inch of your life. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about maybe when you feel abused because he didn't say nice things to you or said something that wasn't kind, and you felt abused. Is that what we call abuse these days?
Well, you know, this is the very reason why we wrote the book that we wrote, because the truth is in our mind, we can feed one of two thoughts. And I can find all the ways that Greg shortchanges me on any given day, even to this day.
Have you written a catalog of those yet?
You know, here's the beauty of it, Chuck. Here's the beauty. My mind has shifted, and what I see is an amazing, God-fearing man. Does Greg have flaws? Absolutely, just as I have flaws.
You know what, Greg? You have a witness now who has heard those words. So if you need any support, just give me a call. We have two out of the mouth of two or three witnesses.
You bet.
All right. Well, that brings me to something that, and you've just been expressing it in a certain way. I want to take it, express it in just a little bit different way. About 13 years ago, maybe 15 now, the Lord showed me at about the 36th year of our marriage that I really wasn't grateful as I ought to have been for my wife. He had showed me right out of the Song of Solomon, or actually Proverbs, I think it was, that she is my treasure. But there was something about that was missing, and it was the word gratitude. And God, I don't know how to explain it, but it was a revelation by the Holy Spirit that gratitude was at the root of any successful relationship, and especially my relationship with my wife and the Lord. From that time on, I began by faith to express gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
It was like pouring powerful fertilizer on our marriage, Julie. It was unbelievable. And you've been expressing this without using the word gratitude. But I think the attitude of gratitude is at the very heart of any marriage that is going to be reflecting God's purpose.
I used to be a pessimist, Chuck. I found every flaw. I played detective, and you know what? If you search long enough and hard enough, you'll find what you're looking for. You'll find the flaws.
Mm-hmm.
And God challenged me to love Greg as he had loved me.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, what I realized is God loved me in a state that I'm not proud of. I have a very clear understanding of God's grace. And I think that that's the key is when, you know, the one who loves much or the one who has been forgiven much loves
mm-hmm.
much.
Mm-hmm.
And with that attitude, with that humility, I was able to shift and break some paradigms, break those old things. And Greg, bless his heart, stood through all of that. And that's why I love him so much today. He is my hero. He does represent the love of Christ. He is slow to anger. He believes the best about me. He brings out the best in me.
Well, you know, I'm looking at your picture on the back of the book here. I mean, Greg, this gal is so beautiful. How could she ever be like she's describing, that she has to be forgiven? And she, I don't understand it.
Well, maybe she over-exaggerates. I don't know.
I'm challenging you now.
You're doing a good job.
Okay.
Now,
go ahead.
She had a lot of hurt in her life, at the bottom line of both of us did. And, you know, we carried it into our marriage. But I believe, you know, over time, but one of the things that we absolutely did intentionally was just what you spoke about. And that's why when you asked her, does she have a big, long list of what those things are? She said no, because we prefer to think about and really make a habit of what it is that we're grateful for. When our Creator created us with this little thing that science calls a reticular activator.
Ooh.
And that little thing causes us to recognize things. In other words, we really do find what we're looking for. And our brain will literally rewire itself in such a way to justify our thoughts one way or another. So that's why it's so important for us to think about what it is that we're thinking about. And if there's things that we want more of in our life and things that we want to reap the rewards of, then we ponder and we look and we wait for those kind of things. And, in your words, express gratitude for those things when we see them. And when we do that, they multiply.
You use the word prefer, and the Bible tells us that in honor we should prefer one another in the body of Christ. But that has to begin in the marriage. If it doesn't begin in the marriage, it's not going to take place in the body of Christ. Maybe that's part of our problem. So, Julie, how do we prefer one another?
Oh, I think it is, again, an attitude of the heart and the mind. One way that we do that practically is before we put our feet to the floor, we literally ask ourselves this question: how can we honor one another? How can we demonstrate Christ? How can we add value to one another? And so I think preferring one another's needs over our own simply means it's not that we deny ourselves or the needs that we have, but as we have that heart to seek the best for another, what I find is that my needs get met in the process of it.
Yeah. And you say when a person feels encouraged, he or she can face the impossible and overcome incredible adversity. And as I was thinking about that, listening to you, Julie, the thought came into my mind, that's why people are addicted to opiates. Because they want to feel encouraged, or at least not feel discouraged. And so they go to drugs to get what they should be getting from people. So that being the case, it rewires, that drug rewires the brain and addicts them. But what if in our marriages, what if husbands recognize and encourage their wives? I don't mean with a pretense. I mean seriously, meaningfully, not facetiously. Encourage their wives. And what if wives encourage their husbands sincerely? It would be like feeding them almost with a relational drug, so to speak, that would so encourage and so inspire, you could overcome almost anything.
What a powerful thought. That is an incredibly powerful thought. And it is just like that. It becomes something that we become addicted to. You know, something I think that I'm a lucky guy because Julie really is my biggest cheerleader.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, although we've gone through some seasons where it was more difficult than others, for
yeah.
sure, one of the attitudes that I really try to embrace that helps me to do what we're talking about very naturally,
mm-hmm.
just keep an attitude of gratitude, as you mentioned. And then in addition to that, an attitude of discovery. I've been with her for 2 decades now,
mm-hmm.
and I've learned a whole lot about Julie.
Mm.
And today, I look forward to, you know, hopefully double that many years or more yet to
mm-hmm.
continue to pull the layers back and discover her. Nothing really seems inherently bad.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things seem good, but it's all just discovery at this point, you know? It's
mm-hmm.
just really learning more about, instead of getting irritated with her when she does something that may seem irritating, I might say to myself, I wonder what caused her to respond that way. And it just allows me to approach her with a whole lot more grace as a man.
All right, so you're having a series of aha moments.
Indeed, and it's a good thing because I needed to.
Okay, well, in order to do that, you kind of have to have an attitude of mutuality of surrender, first to the Lord and then to one another. It's interesting that when the Apostle Paul talks about marriage in Ephesians 5, and he talks about wives submitting themselves to their husbands unto the Lord, husbands loving their wives, what people don't realize is that that passage begins with these words, submitting yourselves to one another in the Spirit of God. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. So there's a mutuality of submission. How do you do that in this world in which we live, where we're almost on the near edge of enemy combat? Julie?
Wow. You know, I think I would go with this thought in Philippians 2. It says, have this attitude in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who
mm-hmm.
though he existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself.
Mm-hmm.
And being found in human appearance, right, he humbled himself to the point of death and death on the cross. And in that, the Apostle Paul also calls us, if there's any joy in that, if there's any consolation of the Spirit, mm-hmm. then make my joy complete by being of the same mind, intent on one purpose. You see, the invitation isn't an invitation, a bunch of do's or don'ts.
Right.
The invitation is to be intent on one purpose.
And that's the married purpose. That's what we're talking about here today on Viewpoint. Friends, you know, I love you guys. I really appreciate your heart for the Lord, your heart for one another. Your book, there's no way we could unfold the depths of it here today, but it's so helpful. 52 special weekly devotions for couples. $13 will put it in your hands. I don't have time to make the special offer I was going to make. This is a $15 hardbound book. $13 will put it in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org. Become a partner. Don't delay. Do it today. And let's let our marriages reflect God's purpose and passion.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.